You're listening to Retro Rewind number 15 by Nintendo Dads. We want to thank our Patreon supporters for making this episode possible. And now we're going to talk about Double Dragon. Zach, cue the music.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Retro Rewind, brought to you by Nintendo Dads. Patrons over at patreon.com/NintendoDads. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight, we're recording this at least is May 10th, 2017, at least for another 2 minutes. That's okay. We're going to get this butt rock is going to bring us through. Here we go. All right, this is, of course, thank you to OCRemix.org for our music, as always. Joining me tonight from the great chopper in the sky, I don't know what that means, Jesse Waldeck, co-editor-in-chief of BGTribune.com. What's going on, man?
Pretty good. I'm thinking we're streaming, but checking the YouTube, and it doesn't say it's streaming, so I'm kind of checking in on that. So.
Okay, well, it's a mystery, and I don't know, worst-case scenario, we can put the audio up later at some point. I don't know, we'll figure it out. Joining us as well with his incredible right hook is Marty Estes from the Land of the South. What's going on, Marty?
I have never been described as having an incredible right hook, but I will take it. I do know this. I don't have to press the B button to kick backwards.
Nice. Oh, okay. I think we need to talk very early on about the controls in this game, the control scheme. I'd never played this game before. I never played any of these games before because, like I've said before, I was a Sega kid. Okay. So I played like Streets of Rage, right, which was kind of like the Sega equivalent of this. So I had never played this, and it's a lot. Streets of Rage is a lot more of like a more classic beat 'em up as far as the controls go. I'm actually going to fade this music all the way out because I have a really hard time concentrating with sick guitar solos in my ears. this was a new thing for me. I really enjoyed it. And in fact, the only real exposure that I had to the Double Dragon franchise, I brought it because I don't know if you guys remember that this was a thing, but I brought a 2 minute long clip. And this was the only exposure that I had to the Double Dragon franchise as a kid. This is a movie trailer.
2007. Los Angeles. The city has changed. Cops rule the day. Punks rule the night. And punks one man wants to rule them all. There's only one thing he needs to succeed.
This is only half of it. Find me the other half now.
And look who's got it.
It magnifies the power inside you. This half gives power over the body.
All right, so where's the on button?
Now, two brothers will stop at nothing to protect their half.
Look out!
This is the most ridiculous.
Will stop at nothing to possess it.
You're gonna love this. Let's have some fun.
Who wants gum?
If they succeed, they're heroes. But if he does, they're history.
Watch your step.
Time to skin you guys.
Do yourselves a favor, by the way. I'm not going to play through the rest of this here, but do yourselves a favor and go and watch the trailer for the original, for the 1994 movie Double Dragon.
I had forgotten this movie existed, and I just I had to look up an image while you were talking about it, or while you were playing that. And with it comes a little bit of information that it is a 3.7 out of 10 on IMDb, and it's 8% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, which means there's 8% of people out there who don't know that they're watching movies when they watch movies.
Yeah.
Man, I'd forgotten. Man, the 1990s were not kind to video games on the silver screen.
Just in general, like this, the it's funny because that kind of trailer is now like has become such a cliche that it's so, you know, like everything in there, and there's only one prop. This is where the other half is, and it's just like
in
whoa!
A time,
and
in
like,
a city. There's some problems.
Here's an IP that has a story. Screw that. Let's mess up and make a new story.
That's basically the MO of every 90s video game movie director.
Yeah.
Starting with Mario Brothers.
And here's the thing. This game series and game just in Double Dragon actually has a pretty rich history. If you go back and look it up, I don't know if you guys are on the Wikipedia page for this. I didn't realize this game had been on so many systems.
It's crazy.
It was everywhere.
Yeah. So just look at the Wikipedia page here. Arcade, Nintendo Entertainment System, Master System for you, Zach. Mm-hmm. Atari 2600, Atari 7800, Game Boy, Mega Drive, Genesis, Lynx, which does anybody ever even remember the Atari Lynx?
Was that a handheld? Is that
it was Atari's handheld. I knew one person who had one, and
wow,
I was super jealous for a while.
Amazing.
But
I knew one person, and I laughed at him.
Yeah, Game Gear, Super NES, Jaguar, Neo Geo, Neo Geo CD, PlayStation, PlayStation 2, Game Boy Advance, Xbox 360, PS4, PC, iOS, DOS.
I like how they just go back to
C:\Run:\Double Dragon, Windows, Amiga, Commodore 64, Atari ST. Like some of these systems I've never heard of. Atari ST, ZX Spectrum, Amstrad CPC, and the MSX. Actually, so Double Dragon came out in 1987 as an arcade game.
Mm-hmm.
That's where its life started.
I think that's where I first played it.
Yeah, I think that's where I did too. And I think for most of us, Zach excluded, at least me and Jesse, probably our major exposure to it was on the NES, right?
Yeah, the arcade and the NES.
I remember renting this game from my local video game store and thinking I was bad stuff because I could get to the third level. So, Zach, here's my question. The original Double Dragon, have you ever played it?
I don't know if I had. Yeah, I should say full disclosure. Like, so we originally had said we're going to do Double Dragon, and then I checked my NES Classic and I saw Double Dragon 2 was there, and I was like, I'm going to do that one because I didn't want to have to. Mm-hmm. There's no way I'm going to pay for Double Dragon 1 if I have Double Dragon 2 on the NES Classic. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. So I've never played the original. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I ever owned it, but I did rent it a few times.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went and bought Double Dragon on the 3DS eShop so that I could play it.
Oh, cool.
Because I realized that I had never finished it.
Okay, cool.
And so basically, you want to run down what this game's about?
So Double Dragon is... See, I'm only going off of what I have for the second one here. But basically, it's a beat-em-up game, right? Billy and Jimmy Lee, which, by the way, in the movie, it's hilarious because I can't remember, but I think they're brothers. But also, one's Asian. I don't remember exactly how the movie worked. but yeah, it's like a basic sort of beat-em-up street game. Yeah, that's kind of the where are we here? Let's see what else we've got here. But the big thing that stuck out for me right away as I started playing it was the really unique control scheme that mm-hmm. I still am not sure how I feel about it. Like it's a little bit weird. It's a little bit of like a like, because basically you punch, like you have a punch button, but you also have to hold the direction that you are punching. And so it was just really weird. Like, it was a really weird thing for me to figure out. Like, and yeah, so anyways, so that would, like, so if you want to, you can,
if you're facing to the right, mm-hmm. the A button is the punch button and the B
right,
button.
Right. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
It's basically, it's not a punch and a kick button. It's a left attack and a right attack. And then depending which way you're facing, it's either a kick or a punch.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and the kick button only kicks behind you.
Yeah.
Which is really frustrating until you master it. So you turn around, face left, the B button becomes your punch button. The A button becomes
right,
your kick
so,
button.
So yeah, exactly. Okay. So it's been a couple of weeks since I played it, but yeah. So basically, if you push, I guess it's A, right? A is the right button. And so on the right hand side of the two. And so it only punches right, or it only attacks right. And so if you want to attack right, you push A. If you want to attack left, you push B. Which mm-hmm. in a way, right away, I figured out, oh man, like that actually, once you get used to it, it actually provides you with a pretty, like, it's almost like the NES equivalent of a dual stick shooter is almost how it feels, where right.
it, but if you're playing on a controller that only has the two buttons, it's logical, but right. when you're playing on a traditional controller with four buttons, it takes some while to get used to and
head
wrap around it.
See, and maybe that's
for those of us who've spent any time gaming in the modern age, going back to this is extremely difficult.
See, and
in 1991 with Super Nintendo,
as in 1989.
See, and that's what I wonder. I wonder if maybe that's why, because I played it on the NES Classic, if that actually was like it made it easier for me to actually pick it up, because I'm playing it on this controller. Right, I'm playing it on the NES controller, so it was like it was pretty easy to pick up. Almost. Well,
you said you played Double Dragon 2, right?
Right.
So didn't they change the controllers?
No, it's the same.
It was the same. Okay. The only thing that was different about Double Dragon 2, of course, a different setting, improved graphics. The control scheme, the controls felt a little tightened up, and they actually added several other moves. Like, you know, you could grab your opponent now if you were close to him and like knee him in the face or throw him over your shoulder. I'm not sure you were able to do that in Double Dragon. But one thing that we should mention too, I think, is that this was one of the first games for the 8-bit Nintendo that, of course, fighting games too, but allowed you to use weapons as well. You know, you could knock weapons out of your opponent's hands and use them against them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I.
So like, there's the chicks that have the whip, you know, and you can knock them down and get their whip, and beat them with it.
Yeah.
Or there's a knife, like the brass knuckles, things like that.
Yeah, it's really fun. And by the way, I just booted this up here next to me on my desk. One thing that I want to say as well, and this was something that I joked about a lot when I was streaming this game, is the your main sprite here. I don't know if this is supposed to be Billy or Jimmy or whatever, but he's actually, if you look closely, he's actually Eugene from The Walking Dead. So. Just his hairstyle. Seriously, look it up. Double Dragon 2.
You have ruined this game for me.
See, look, I'm serious. Double Dragon 2.
Oh no, I see it.
See, it's Eugene from The Walking Dead. You cannot see it now. So that's the only thing. And I at one point remember seeing Danny Trejo as one of the bad guys too. So. He's in there, and I'm pretty sure this guy I'm fighting right now is Ice, Vanilla Ice. But
well, I mean, just go ahead, come out and say it, that these games are a huge, like riff on the 80s.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Right. I mean, they're a huge riff on action movies and the stereotypes that are found there. In fact, so much so that when Double Dragon Neon was released a few years ago on the Xbox 360 and PS3, Way Forward basically was spoofing the entire Double Dragon series with that.
Yeah.
I mean, the main villain's name is Skullmageddon.
Which is awesome. So,
yeah. So, but I mean, we've got a game here who has arcade roots. And this is one of those things that I do want to point out here, was that there was a huge movement in the 80s to, even though the arcade machines were superior to what we could play at home, you know, as far as graphical and sound quality, there was a huge move to try to bring the arcade experience home, which led to things like Double Dragon and Pac-Man and different things like that. You know, basically name a big arcade game from the 80s and it appeared on a home system, either the Atari or the Nintendo at some point.
That's awesome. I'm just thinking, so, by the way, this is, anyways, sorry. I'm not going to derail us with that.
No, that's okay. So Double Dragon was released in 1987 by Technos, who I guess is a company that we should mention is not around anymore. Technos Japan, which actually Atlas has posted or has published Double Dragon games before, and it's gone on to produce a huge amount of sequels. Of course, Zach, you're playing Double Dragon 2 right now, Double Dragon 3, which is the bane of the series, by the way. Jesse knows all about Double Dragon 3.
I played through one and two and three, streamed them in separate streams, so they're on my YouTube channel. I think mine, not Nintendo Dad's. Oh. And the gameplay of three lasts maybe 4 minutes.
What?
Yeah. You have one life and no continues.
Well, it's so dumb.
Yeah. So in the arcade, Double Dragon 3 was the Rosetta Stone. In the home version was Double Dragon 3, the Sacred Stones. So, of course, changed a little bit. There was actually a Super Nintendo release in 1992, Super Double Dragon, which I never saw in stores and was never able to play. So if you're out there and you've played that, lucky. Game Gear version, obviously. Double Dragon 5 was also released, which I had no clue about, for the Super Nintendo in 1994. And that was also around the time that the movie came out, so they were probably trying to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
But
I overestimated my playthrough. It is 3 minutes, 28 seconds.
Wow. There's actually a Game Boy Advance version of Double Dragon that actually pretty closely emulates the arcade from back in the day.
How's that one rated? Does it say like how that one is? I'm just wondering because a lot of times those Game Boy Advance ports ended up being really good.
Says Wikipedia says it got generally positive reviews. GameSpot gave it an 8.3.
Nice.
And if you would like to play these games right now, there is a trilogy of these games on iOS and Android that was published back in 2013 by .emu. That name sounds really familiar.
Hmm. Are those supposed to be good?
Apparently. Oh, .emu just did Wonder Boy and the Dragon's Trap.
Ah.
The remake for Switch. So let's just look this up. Double Dragon Trilogy.
It's only $4 on the that's on the Canadian iTunes store, so
it is, yeah. And it actually looks like they've ported the arcade versions and not the NES version.
So I just looked at Metacritic for Double Dragon games and sorted by score high to low, and the GBA game is the highest rated one.
Wow. That doesn't surprise me.
With a score of 75.
The GBA was awesome.
What's the lowest rated one?
Double Dragon 2 Wander of the Dragons Xbox 360 from April 2013 has a score of 17.
Wow. 17.
Wow, dude.
17.
That's amazing.
Then there was a Double Dragon 4 that came out on PC, PS4.
Yeah, this year.
End of January of this year that is getting like high 40s to mid 50s.
It looks they've tried to go like all anime with it and everything, but and
Double Dragon Neon got 66 or 71 depending on the platform.
So Jesse, with you having played this in arcade and with you like remembering it on the NES, do you remember playing this when it was first released?
I don't remember when it was first released, because back then I really, I followed like the big Nintendo titles, like, so I knew when Zelda, I knew when Mario came out, but a lot of the third parties didn't really let themselves known. So I played it at some point, I saw it on the shelf at my local mom and pop rental shop. This is even before Blockbusters were around. Don't even remember.
It's where I got mine too.
Yeah, and so I rented it a few times from that. So I couldn't tell you if that was like the month it came out or 4 years afterwards. I honestly don't remember. But I do remember, trying to play through it, not being very good at it. I don't think I ever finished it.
Oh no, I've never finished the game.
I might have finished the arcade once. Of course, this is after probably dropping $5 in it.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. This is one of those old NES games that are, or just from that era, that are super hard.
Yeah.
And
the game developers, you get based off of an arcade anyway, but the game developers still had that arcade mentality where in order to generate, to make an arcade worth its while, it had to be difficult and be quarter hungry.
Yeah.
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 And if one person can play for 2 hours on a single quarter, it's not going to make its money back from the purchase price.
Sure. So basically you just kind of have to get good. That's what it comes down to.
You got to pay that money to get good. Yeah, for sure.
And there's not really a lot of games that are being developed right now that are like this. I think the beat 'em up genre has kind of petered out.
Yeah. I think part of it is that I think that some of that quarter hungry lineage has kind of continued into what we would now call like the roguelike genre.
Where
that level of difficulty, I think, is definitely still there. Like I'm like,
I think
you
that's
said,
fair. Yeah.
Like you said that, and I'm like immediately I'm having flashbacks of Tumbleseed, and I'm like, oh geez, that's the kind of game they would have just thrown into the arcade. The
difference between a game like a roguelike and the arcade version of Double Dragon is, roguelike, you start over every time. You may have an additional benefit from a previous playthrough, or may not. But here you're literally just continuing from where you left off. Three more lives, go.
Well, I think one of the things about this game too, and also in contrast to a roguelike, is there's only so many times you can play through this game.
Yeah,
it's like Final Fight. You know that you're going to walk down the stairs and there's going to be this guy dressed in orange and he's going to have a pipe, and if you hit him and get the pipe and you beat him with it a couple times and you hold on to it, then you're going to go through that area good. Then you're going to get to the boss and then on and on and on. It's the same game every time you play. And
part of the fun of the arcades is playing it two players
with a friend
co-op.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you remember? With a friend, which didn't, the NES version of one didn't have that.
No, but two did.
Two did.
And two, from what I can gather, and I'm thinking back to old issues of Nintendo Power, was billed as like the first simultaneous co-op beat 'em up game to come to home consoles.
Cool.
Like I remember Nintendo really blowing the horn on that.
I can't verify that, but it's likely, because most that the genre blew up with that type of thing with the Super Nintendo era, but since this is pre that, it probably is.
Well, I mean, you guys remember that they even had a crossover Double Dragon and Battletoads.
Oh God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, where some reason these two universes collided, and you've got Battletoads fighting on Double Dragon levels, and
that's amazing.
Which that's another game that's ridiculously hard.
Yeah,
that the only Game Genie can beat.
Yeah.
I didn't realize just looking through here, when I think of Double Dragon, I know that it's there. There's nostalgia to it from the 80s. Like, it's one of those things that, when I'm thinking about Nintendo, it's at least one of the top 20 franchises that I think of from the old NES that, come to mind. But, I didn't realize that it was so popular that there's other appearances that these guys have been in. Of course, Battletoads and Double Dragon, we've already talked about. Battletoads and Double Dragon was so, I guess, so popular, I don't know, that they made like four games. NES, Game Boy, Genesis, and Super Nintendo versions of this game. But if you remember, there's an old volleyball game called Spike Ball Volleyball that came out for the NES. Billy and Jimmy are playable characters in it.
That's amazing.
In WWF Superstars, which is an arcade game that was also made by Technos, there's an in the audience you can see characters, one of the characters from Double Dragon.
Nice.
Billy is one of the spectators. In River City Ransom, which is widely regarded as one of the best NES games out there, the Double Dragon theme music plays during a battle against Randy and Andy, who are two characters based on Billy and Jimmy.
Nice.
I remember playing that game when I was, but I don't remember anything about it. Don't remember if I ever finished it. That might be a game we might want to look into sometime for a future episode.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a quick question
really
for you.
I actually enjoyed that game.
Here's a question for you guys. Best, like the your brawler beat 'em up game of choice, arcade or not, growing up, what would you say was the one that you sunk the most quarters into?
The Simpsons.
The Simpsons?
Do you remember that game? It's amazing.
I think mine's a toss-up between Simpsons and six-player X-Men.
There is a – yeah, that's –
six-player X-Men's close.
The there's actually a Red Robin here in Edmonton. It's literally like a five-minute drive from my house. They have a little – you know those little arcades. It's got like six cabinets. It's like three on each side. And they have a Simpsons cabinet. It's so
I'm good. So sad that like I think that came out on Xbox Live
eventually. Yeah, I it was out on PS3. I remember buying that.
And I remember playing it and just being in awe, like that I was finally able to play this game because I have this memory attached to it. Like there was a arcade that was about 30 minutes from my house in a mall called Tilt. And nice. They had a Simpsons arcade machine, and me and a friend went there and we started playing it, and we got pretty far and we made it all the way to the final boss. Right. And we had like a dollar left for each of us. And like we were fighting it, and like the final boss is just ridiculous. Like it's like you fight Smithers.
Yeah. Wasn't it Burns?
Well, yeah, but you fight Smithers right before that, and Smithers right. just runs around in a cape throwing bombs everywhere, which are totally unpredictable. Then you fight Burns, who is in a a nuclear-powered robot suit, and you beat him, and his legs explode off the robot, and he turns into tank treads and starts fighting you again. So we get down to this one like dollar left. And like he's flashing, you know, like how all bosses of those games would flash, you know, and we get down like probably maybe 10 more hits. Right. And we use our last quarters. And by this time, like we're 2 12-year-old kids. We have attracted a crowd of people around us watching us play this game. And these older, cooler kids came by and like, man, we got this, and start feeding us quarters. And nice. We beat the Simpsons. Like they're like a crowd of 20 people in us, and I'll never forget that.
That's but like awesome, that, dude.
Like who would have ever thought that The Simpsons could be a beat 'em up game? Only in the 90s, right?
Yeah,
but it's still so much fun. Like it makes no sense, but it's a lot of fun to play.
That's awesome. I remember playing. I can't even remember where it was now. I think it may have been at an arcade in Waterton Lakes National Park, which is like a place that we'd go every summer for like a week. We had a cabin there. It's like this little town up in the mountains. But they had this arcade there. It's closed down now, but they had in there and playing. I don't know if this is where this was. I can't remember, but it was Captain America and the Avengers. The original, like this was, I think I'm looking this up here. When was this game actually released? It does 91. So I would have been 6 years old when this game came out. Which is crazy, but it was, it like you could play as Captain America, Iron Man, Hawkeye, or Vision, And I don't know, have either of you guys played that game, like that arcade game?
I'm going to be honest when I tell you that I didn't even know that game existed.
Dude.
But no. Now I need to go find it.
It's so good. It was like, and Vision was super overpowered because he had the forehead beam. Sorry, go ahead.
I think this one might be like the version before the six-player version that I remember playing.
Okay.
There's a there's another Capcom-developed beat-em-up like that has like its own characters, like Captain Commando or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can't remember it, and awesome.
I'm looking at this game.
It's going to kill me until...
I'm looking at like just the Google image search of this game, and it's bringing back memories. The other one was a Ninja Turtles one. That was a
Captain
similar...
Commando is the name of it. It came out in 1991. It was only released. Well, no, I take that back. I was going to say it was only released in the arcade. That's the only place I ever saw it. I just remember like it drawing me in because like one of the characters is a baby in a giant mech suit that fights. Like it's like a baby in a giant green mechanized suit.
Yeah.
That you can play as. And I guess this was just... His name is Baby Commando.
Nice.
There's Captain Commando, Mummy Commando, Ninja Commando, and Baby Commando. And the baby is called Baby Head.
Brilliant.
Makes no sense.
I'm looking at this too, by the way. And there was also a Ninja Turtles arcade game. Which, of course, there was. That was really, really good.
Yeah, and that was actually popular on the NES too when it finally came over. And one of the greatest beat 'em ups of all time, Turtles in Time, the Super Nintendo edition. You just can't beat that. Mm-hmm. But alas, it's not Double Dragon.
Yeah, and when I remember when Turtles in Time was kind of redone in HD on PS3 and 360, it did not include the extra Super Nintendo level.
And no, and I was upset. Extremely disappointed in that because some of those were super cool.
Totally.
There's a if I'm not mistaken, it's a the Super Nintendo level. There was an extra one where you fought, we were on a pirate ship and you fought Toka and Razar from the movies.
Oh no.
And there was also if you played it on hard and got all the way to the end without continuing, when you fought Shredder, and beat him, he would come back as Super Shredder.
Nice.
Well, I don't remember all that. See, I thought there was the fight with Shredder was the extra level on the Super Nintendo where you didn't fight him directly, but you actually had to throw.
Oh no, yeah, you throw him toward the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's actually a fight with Shredder in front of the Statue of Liberty that he has stolen.
Because
that's the whole premise.
You can do that if you're a cartoon. Remember,
April O'Neil is reporting in front of the Statue of Liberty, and the giant Krang robot comes and steals the Statue of Liberty by breaking it off its base and carrying it away. Yeah, welcome to the early 90s, folks.
So good. Right on. Well, sure. Is there anything else, Marty? You played through this. Is there anything else that you want to?
Well, I actually played through, I got to about level 4 or 5 on Double Dragon, and I just have not been able to progress any further. I actually got farther on Double Dragon 2, and it may be that it's just because I remember it better.
You got that muscle memory?
It's a little more updated, and plays a little bit better. But I can't get anywhere on 3, and if you can do that, then... I will bow down to your video gaming prowess.
Yeah. My playthrough of 2 was a minute and a half longer than my playthrough of 1.
I do think that I have the fonder memories of 2 because as a young child and an only child at that, there were my options for video gaming in my house were limited if I wanted to play with somebody. And my mom would play Double Dragon 2 with me a lot. And she would always play video games with me. So I remember the night we set up until we beat Rampage.
Really?
There's an ending to that game?
There is actually. When you destroy the entire U.S., you have beaten the game.
I don't think I ever played that far.
We did because apparently we love Rampage so much. But yeah, like there's a soft spot in my heart for Double Dragon, but I to be honest, like it's not something that I go back to like I do Mario and other things. But I do enjoy a good beat 'em up every now and then, because like this is one of those games where you can just turn your mind off and press buttons.
Yep. And it's a game that again, having not played hardly, like I've played beat 'em up games before, but having not really played this game at all, like I do feel like after a few rounds, I got much better at it fairly. Like it's not a hard game to pick up. You know what I mean? Like and it's like you can kind of get the hang of the controls pretty easily. It's a good time. So I think that's about all we. Is there anything else that you guys want to talk about with Double Dragon? I know this is we're trying to make good, if that makes sense, on our Retro Rewind stuff. I think maybe we'll just talk about that for even a second too. You know, I think let us know what your guys' thoughts are. What your guys's is guys's a word? No.
Use guys.
You peeps. Let us know what your thoughts are on the future of Retro Rewind. Is this something that you guys are still interested in hearing about, in listening to, in doing as a community? We're looking to get this stuff back up and running. And if you have any thoughts about future stuff, again, we're going to probably in the next, we're going to fast track that Super Mario World episode as well. Probably not next week, but maybe in 2 weeks we'll do the Retro Rewind, or 2 or 3 weeks or something like that. And then we'll get back on the boat here, but let us know. That's a phrase, right? Back on the boat. But
back on the horse.
On the the seahorse. And I don't know. I'm gonna stop. It is late.
Okay, Aquaman.
And so so let us know, you know, with your what your thoughts are for Super Mario World, and what your thoughts are, and you know, your suggestions and things that you would like to see from Retro Rewind moving forward. So. Other than that, I think let's get this butt rock playing again. I'll just find a good spot here. Right on. Jesse and Marty, thanks for joining me today for some Retro Rewind talk for Double Dragon. It's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course,
I still don't know why I couldn't, for some reason, I wouldn't stream it today. It's, you know, our regular episode streamed just fine, but this one decided, nope, I'm not going to stream.
That's exciting. Probably, I don't know. I blame Justin.
So I put out a tweet saying, yeah, sorry, can't stream it today, but we're still recording it and it'll be pushed out Sunday morning.
Yep. Right on. Well, that is, that works.
That is if someone gets me the audio before Saturday night.
Oh, that never happens, right? Right on. Well, hey everybody, thanks for listening. And if you want to follow us on all the social medias, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. I want to take this opportunity to thank those people who are supporting us on Patreon. This episode would not happen without your help, so thank you so much for your support. Even $1 a month goes a long way, and if you're willing to or able to support us with even more, that's awesome. That helps us kind of deal with the. There are costs involved in doing the show, and so we're grateful to you guys for being able to help us out. So thank you all for listening. Of course, if you want to change the world, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. Until next time, for me, for Jesse, for Marty, and for the Irish Justin, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.